We will have fellowship on Sunday. Next Thursday, there will be no fellowship, though. And then we'll have our New Year's Eve party on the 31st. What is that? Monday, okay. There you go. Well, we're in the epistles, but I want to be in the gospel. Matthew chapter 2, once again, please. We took a look at the wise men and who and what they were last time we were together, and we began to read in Matthew chapter 2 about the visit of the Magi, and we saw that it came sometime after the birth of Christ. And when you get through working the Word of God, you see it was some 15 months later. Now we're going to consider his star on Sunday. But before we can consider his star and what exactly that star was, we have to first begin to date his star. Back in Matthew chapter 2, it says, "Now when or after Jesus, verse 1, was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he, born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, switch there, that's what it is. He demanded where Christ should be born. Right? Now, later on, as you read the record, you see that Herod had all the children executed from age 2 and what?
Under.
In the coast around there. Because the Magi, they didn't come back. So he got ticked off and he took it out on them. To kill children, to do such a heinous thing, it's just unbelievably, you know, how could you think of something like that, to do that? But verse 4 says that Herod demanded where what? Where Christ should be born. See, it just wasn't a matter of Herod being evil, killing a child or a bunch of children. That's bad. That's horrible. But this is how bad Herod was. Herod knew the prophecy of this one called who? The Christ. That he was to be the Son of God. That he was to be the one sent by God. That he was to be the one that would redeem Israel. And Herod just didn't want to know where the king was born. He just didn't want to know where the child was born. He wanted to know where what? The Christ was born. This is I don't have a word for it. I mean, well, they do it today, and our government does the same thing. Our government goes against our God today. They mouth off stuff all the time. But this is a leader, a government leader, going directly against God, wanting to know where this Christ is going to be, because he's going to get rid of the Christ. See how evil Herod was? I mean, it's bad what he was going to do, even if there wasn't the Christ involved, right? But he knew it was God's son. How arrogant and prideful and boastful must this man have been to go against God Almighty and say, "I'm going to get rid of your Christ"? Do you think he had any respect or regard for the one true God? No. And if you read about Herod's demise, you'll see that he suffered horribly before he actually died. I mean, he got everything that was coming to him then, and he'll get everything that's coming to him in the judgment. See? So, I mean, it's bad enough to go after a person, but to go after God's Christ, now we know that the devil was behind it, of course, but there was a man, and that's where mankind gets. Mankind actually gets to the place in their life where they get so full of pride, where they're vindictive and they want to fight God Almighty. Even so much so to killing his only begotten son. I just, that's amazing to me that he would do such a thing. Well, it says he asked them about, they told him where he was going to be. In verse 5, it said Bethlehem of Judea. And it says in verse 7 that the Herod called the wise men privately and inquired what time the star appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search for diligently for the young child and come tell me. Verse 9, again, the second appearance of the star. The first appearance of the star was when the wise men were in their country and they saw it appear. And then a series of astronomical events took place, and it prompted them to go to and look for the birth of this king. The second appearance of this star is in verse 9. It says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and it stood over where the young child was. A star in its rising, I taught you about the heliacal rising of a star, and what that meant is that as it began to rise early dawn before the sun would come out, the star would rise, and all stars, planets, etc., well, the stars we're talking about, they would rise up and they would get to their highest point. Like the sun rises and the sun reaches its highest point around noontime. And then from that point on, you know, it'll rise, it'll stop. And then it begins to what? Set. Well, the star, when it begins to rise, it does the same thing. It rises. And then when it gets to its highest point in the sky, you know what it does to the eye? It stops. It just stops. And it's there a period of time before it starts to either descend or it is obscured by, which happens, in this case, this rising of the sun. And then it just disappears. So you never really get to see it going any further. So what the star they saw the first time prompted them, and this star was associated with the birth of the Messiah, to go there. And when they went Jerusalem, I guess Herod was. Is that correct? When they went to Jerusalem, they went out again after they talked to Herod. And then it says, lo, they saw the star once again. Now, the second time that they saw the star was on its arc, and it was up, until it reached its apex right here. And when it reached its apex, its highest point, that's what's meant in the Bible when it says, they saw the star in the east, it went before them till it came, and it stood over where the young child was. And we know that to be what? Bethlehem. So they saw the star, and they started to travel. Now, it's probably about 7 miles during their travel. So they're traveling, and they're following the star. And they're traveling and traveling and traveling. And soon, you know, the star stops, comes to its high spot, and it just stands still. And it stands still over the city of Bethlehem. Now, I taught you that from Luke we learned that once the shepherds saw the actual birth of Jesus Christ, that they went and they what? Published that news. So when the Magi got to Bethlehem, they turned around and they asked, where is this so-and-so born, such and such, and they found, and then they went into the house, and the rest of the record goes on. Now, all the theologians agree there's no dispute about what I'm going to tell you now, that Herod died somewhere between 1 and 7 B.C., okay? You know, sometimes you get people, they want to argue about a verse, they want to dispute a date, whatever. But everybody's in agreement that this time frame of 1 to 7 B.C. is a period of time that Herod died somewhere along in there. Now, what we're concerned with tonight, so I can lay the groundwork for Sunday, is that we're going to begin to date his star. We're going to date his star. Now, there's been changes in the dates through the years. They messed with the calendar. You also have to understand that our calendar is limited to a certain amount of days, and we can accurately go back or forward by our calendar because we have a certain amount of days every month, and it's the same amount of days every month. For instance, it's December, and we have 31 days in December. You had 31 days in December 2012. You have 31 days in December 2080. You have 31 days in December 1904. There was always 31 days in December. That's where our calendar works. The Hebrew calendar didn't exactly work like that. The Hebrew calendar worked by the beginning of the new moon. So as soon as they saw the first crest of the new moon, that numbered their month. That's when a new month began. Now the problem with that is that the new moon would come at different times. So much so that if they were going to continue to function in the festivals that God ordained, such as Passover, which is done in the spring of the year, you would go, and because of the way the new moon felt, it would bring the calendar back where they would actually be trying to celebrate a Passover closer to January after X amount of years. So for this reason, what the Hebrew people did is they would add months to the calendars at certain times. And this would correspond and help out with leap year too. So that's how they would do it. So you can see how you can get messed up trying to track days by that. But there's one thing that you can't get messed up with by tracking time, and that is the occurrence of the moon and the astronomical events in the sky. Because in God's timepiece, in his clock, you can go and find a moon, and then you can go back in time and calculate when that moon appeared those days past. And you can do this to like seconds, because that's how accurate the programs are, the astronomy programs that they have today. Now, years ago, they ought had to calculate all this out with pencils and figure all these other things out. Today, you can get an astronomy program, type in when was the new moon on such and such and such and such, and it'll pinpoint it exactly. So now that we have that bit of information that we can pinpoint time exactly by the moon, we can also pinpoint time by major celestial events that have been recorded throughout history in the sky. Some of the celestial events that have been recorded and penned down in days of old are eclipses. Eclipses. Now, there's was a noted historian. His name was Josephus. He wrote at the time of Christ, and he chronicled the history of the Jerusalem, Judah area and the different events that took place during that time. And Josephus chronicles four eclipses that took place between 1 BC and 7 BC. Now, 1 BC and 7 BC is our target area where the scholars all agree that Herod died. Herod died. So, in the days of old, they were stargazers. They watched the stars. And if something significant happened and they were trained in it, they observed, they knew what happened. They didn't get newspapers like we get, and they didn't get, you know, different things like we get. They saw that if something was going on in the sky, it was significant to them. They understood that. Now, we know that Passover is in the spring of the year. Passover would vary. Sometimes it'd be April 8th. Sometimes it'd be April 14th. It would even come late in the month of April sometimes, but it was always in the spring of the year. Now, from the writing of Josephus, from the understanding of when Passover was, from the gap of time of 1 to 7 BC, where Herod died, and from these eclipses that were chronicled, okay, we can go back with a program and see exactly what was going on and what the stars looked like, what the sky looked like at such and such a period of time, because these things were on a clock. Now, the first I have listed on the board is a total eclipse. Josephus chronicled a total eclipse in March 23rd, 5 BC. Now, the reason why the eclipse is so important is because when Josephus wrote about the death of Herod, okay, he noted that during that period of time that Herod was suffering and then he eventually died, there was a total eclipse. Okay? So now we have another bit of information, because we're trying to put together the date, the year, when Herod died. And according to his writings, he said that there was a total eclipse during that year. We also know that Herod had one of his children killed before he died. And we know that one of his other sons came and took over in Herod's place. We also know from Josephus that when his son took over Herod's reign after the death and burial of Herod, that there was an uprising at that Passover. So much so that the town was in uproar that he had to send the army in, and he sent the people home early on that Passover. So now, it was shortly after the death of Herod that this uprising occurred, and the uprising occurred at the time of the what? Passover. Passover is in what? Spring of the year. You got it? Okay, so now we're getting closer to be able to pinpoint when Herod actually died, because Herod died before, very close to, a Passover. Okay? And the Passover is in what? The spring of the year. Now, so what we're going to do now, trying to narrow this down, is we're going to look at the eclipses, because we know that Josephus chronicled, and you know, you can go to page 23 and page 25 here in this book. You can read Josephus, Antiquities of the Jews, chapter 17, 6, 5, etc. If you want to go and read what I'm telling you. Okay, so these are where the information is coming from, so you can do that. But you'll see that there are two eclipses that are listed in March. Now, we know that the Passover occurs in what? Springtime, around April-ish, right? So this eclipse here, 325 and 5 BC, there was a total eclipse. Then there was a partial eclipse on 313, 4 BC. 314, 4 BC. In 4 BC, Passover occurred on April 12th through the 18th, on 4 BC. So this here, 313, a month and a day away came Passover. Okay? That's when this partial eclipse, this was partial eclipse, was a month and a day before Passover. You with me? Okay. Now, here's the problem with the 313 4 BC date. We have chronicled in history from Josephus that Herod went through an order of events before he died. Okay? Now, those order of events are listed here in this book. And instead of trying to remember all of them, I'm just going to read them to you. It says, and the reason why this is important is because you're going to see you have a 31-day period between this date and the Passover beginning. You with me? You're not going to be able to do the things that are listed here in 31 days. That's why this date isn't going to work for you. Now, this is what Josephus says happened before the death of Herod. It says that Herod executed two high priests at the time of the lunar eclipse, after which Herod's lingering illness was greatly aggravated. So if this was the lunar eclipse, and Herod executed two high priests on the lunar eclipse, if this is the date that they're saying it is, okay, now all these things have to follow and have to fit into a 31-day time period. Now here you go. His illness was greatly aggravated, so he went to Calauro, to the east of Jordan, to seek relief in its hot baths. However, the treatment failed and he returned to Jericho. Knowing that the Judean nation cared nothing for him and that his death would be nothing but a cause for celebration, Herod sent messengers throughout Judea to bring every principal man in the city captive to Jericho. There he gathered them together and he confined them to the Hippodrome, that's the race course, intending to have them killed when he died, because they knew that they weren't going to be happy, or that they were just going to rejoice when he died. So he figured he's going to kill these guys, and he's going to make them miserable too. Even to his grave, this guy's like reaching out saying, I'm a miserable SOB when I was born, and I'm going to be a miserable SOB when I die. My last act is not going to be, I'm sorry, God forgive me, like Manasseh, right? He said, I'm going all the way and going with my boots on. Okay, after these men had been gathered and confined, envoys from Caesar at Rome arrived, giving Herod permission to execute or banish his son Antipas. So he gets permission from Rome. He had to send to Rome. He didn't email. He didn't pick up a phone. Right? He sends to Rome, gets permission to execute or banish his son. Herod had him executed immediately. Nice guy. He kills his own kid. And then says, then Herod died 5 days later. Upon his death, Herod's other son, Archelaus, that guy, whatever the hell his name is, became king. Whereupon, what? Say it, somebody. You know it? Okay. Archelaus, that's the way it's getting pronounced, released the prisoners from the Hippodrome. Archelaus prepared a lavish funeral for his father and a procession consisting of Herod's soldiers and servants. They marched to the Hippodrome and they a fortified mountain south of Jerusalem where they buried Herod. Scholars estimate the funeral procession from Jericho to the Hippodrome required at least 25 days. After the burial, Archelaus then mourned his father for 7 more days, returning to Jerusalem and preparing to sail to Rome to have Caesar confirm his reign. But before Archelaus left, a general riot erupted at the Passover, as the Passover was beginning, and he had to send in such and such. So this is what you have. You got 7 days, you got about a week when Herod's problems are getting worse. Okay? Then it says he traveled to Calauro to receive bath treatments. They allow how long it takes to get there, how long you'd stay there for the treatments, and how long to come back. By the amount of miles and such they allow 14 days. Then they said, hurry, return to Jericho and summons all the Judean elders. They allow another 14 days for that. And it says, Herod executes his son, and then he lives for five more days. That's 40 days. So 40 days doesn't fit in a 31-day period. And that's squeezing it. Okay? Now, if you take that time frame, you'll see that it doesn't fit here, right? And you'll see, what other one won't it fit immediately off the bat? Well, this one here. We're still March, right? Because this is even what? Later, right? It's 23. That gives them even less time. So these two, 5 BC and 4 BC, it doesn't fit with history. It doesn't fit with anything. It won't work. You got it? It just won't work. Now we have two more to consider. We got a total eclipse of September 15th, 5 BC. And then we got a total eclipse of January 9th, 1 BC. Why is the total eclipse important? Because Josephus chronicles that there was a total eclipse close to the time that Herod died. That's why it's important. So now, and when you go back through and check it out, these are the only four eclipses that fit within those periods of 1 BC to 7 BC, because this is the area of time that we're exploring. Now, we have a September possibility in 5 BC, because that's when we had a total eclipse, according to records. And we have a January possibility in 1 BC, according to records. And we want to see which one of those is going to fit Herod's death. Okay? And again, they both fit within the framework of 1 to 7. So the 5 is a good possibility. And I want to tell you right now that most of the scholars have went with the September 15th, 5 BC eclipse. And that's how they date it. And that's where they came in with the birth of Jesus Christ and all that other stuff. Okay? Now, let me see here. September 15th. Okay, let me read to you what the book says here. Some scholars have proposed that the eclipse of September 15th, 5 BC, was the one mentioned by Josephus, shortly after which Herod died. Okay? So, eclipse, and shortly afterwards, what happens? Herod dies. This date gives us a six-month period between Herod's death and Passover. I told you Passover is in what? Spring of the year. So you got October, November, December, January, February, March. You got around 6 months, maybe a little more. A couple weeks, okay? It gives us a six-month date between Herod's death and the Passover. Josephus' record tells us that after Herod's funeral, the new king, Archelaus, which is his son, hasted to sail to Rome at the same time that the Passover was approaching. The problem with the date of this eclipse is, how could it be said that Archelaus hasted to Rome if he had to wait 6 months from the death of Herod in the fall until the Passover the following spring? You understand? He had all this time to get to do what he had to do to get to Rome before the Passover. So he would be in no rush to get there because he had months and months and months to do it. However, if he was closer to the Passover than September, okay, and all of the events took place that we read about earlier. What events? Herod's symptoms intensified 7 days. Herod travels to Calaro to receive hot bath treatments, 14 days. He returns to Jericho, he summons all the Judean elders, another 14 days, executes his son, 5 days. Then 5 days after that, he dies. All those events, okay? If that took place here, for sake of argument, let's put him in October, let's put him in November, okay? That's more than enough. He has December, January, February to get to confirm his rule, his son, and he doesn't have to hasten to it. Okay? That's what they're saying. The problem with this date of the eclipse is how can it be said that Archelaus hastened to Rome if he had to wait 6 months from the death of Herod in the fall until Passover the following spring? This and other factors discount the eclipse as one that Josephus records. Another factor is that Josephus records that Herod stayed in Jericho until his death. Herod would not have subjected himself to residing in Jericho in the intense heat of the late summer because it was a desert heat preceding September. In other words, he wouldn't be in here before his death, okay? August, July, August. It's hot. It's hot here. But because he was sick, it would aggravate him even the more, is what they're saying. Especially since his illness made him extremely uncomfortable. In winter, Jericho would have been pleasant. So they're saying in the winter months, Herod would go to Florida because it's nicer down there. But Herod ain't going to Florida in July and August because it's roasting hot, okay? That's what they're saying. So they're saying he wouldn't be there before this date because it would just be too hot. However, when wintertime comes, what do they call them? The snowbirds, right? They all go down to Florida because it's not hot, but it's not freezing. It's more comfortable. That's what they're saying. So that, there's other evidence because if you work chronologically this date and you reconcile it with Jesus Christ's ministry, you'll see that when you start to add it up and count the Passovers, you come out to around 27 or 28, okay? And the Word of God says that he was 30 when he began to minister, okay? So you're like 2 or 3 years short there. So there's more evidence to go to support that this isn't the date. You with me? I know it's difficult, but so now we only got one more to consider. Little X. And that is Josephus records a total eclipse in January. As a matter of fact, it was January 9th, and the year was 1 BC. Now let me read to you again out of the book. There's only one more remaining lunar eclipse to consider, and that is the total eclipse on January 9th, 1 BC. All of the events recorded by Josephus occurred between the lunar eclipse and the Passover, and they could, and they do, fit into a three-month period of time, the period of time from January 9th and Passover, and the Passover on 1 BC, that particular year, started on April 8th. Now, how do we know the Passover started on April 8th in 1 BC? Say it, somebody. There you go. Could you track it back? Because, well, you're good, but let me tell you exactly, pinpoint it for you. We know that the Passover was selected on what? The 10th day. It was kept until the what? 14th day. Then it was eaten between what? The eaves, so it was actually eaten on the 15th day, which was the first day of the Passover, which started the Passover. So April 8th would have been the first day of the Passover, but 14 days prior would have been what? The first crescent of the new what? Because that would have been the first of the month. You with me? I'm not with me. It's okay. Fourteen days, No, 14 days before. Well, see, it just says the 8th. It says it's the 8th. But we know that if the Passover started on the 8th of that particular... No. Not the 8th of Nisan, not the 8th of Abib. I'm telling you, it's corresponding to our 8th. Our 8th. It would have been their 14th or their 15th. Right? But it corresponds to our 8th. That's where we get mixed up. So, actually, it would have been the 15th of Nisan, because that's when the Passover always occurred. But that particular year, the 15th of Nisan fell on our August or our April what? 8th. So if we were doing it in our month, what's before April? March. It would have been March 20, whatever, right? That's when it would have been, the new moon. You got that? Did I confuse you all now completely? You understand what I'm saying? All right, now. Okay, the Passover in January 9th, 1 B.C., occurred on our April 8th. There's also evidence which clarifies the dates that the birth of Christ occurred after 4 B.C. At least 16 early Christian sources date Christ's birth after 4 B.C., the majority of which date the birth to 3 B.C. And then he goes and they list early sources, and they got 3 B.C., 3-2, 3-2, 3-2. They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 listed here, 8. 8 listed here from early Christian writers that date the birth of Jesus Christ either in 3, 2, or 4. 3 B.C.s. Everyone is common, has a 3 in it. Okay? Now. Okay. So what did we see? We saw that this period here, you had around 3 months for all of the things to happen before the Passover that year. And you see that it fits with those 40-some days, his sickness accelerating, his going for the hot bath treatments, his calling the elders together, the execution of the priest, execution of the sun, total eclipse. And then it was 5 days later, after he kills his one son, Josephus chronicles that 5 days later, Herod dies. 40 days after the eclipse of January 9th, brings us to February 18th. Okay? That's the earliest that he could have died. So he could have died February, he could have died March, whatever, but the fact is that period of time fits in here. Okay? So now, beginning to date his star, we have a date from the Passover, from history, from the death of Herod, from the total eclipse that's recorded. Putting this all together, we now have a time frame that we can work in, because we know that if that is the time that he died, right? We know that he was what? Alive in Matthew 2. Okay? So now we have a place where we could start counting backwards, because if we have an approximation of his death, we can start to count backwards in Matthew 2, and we can start to calculate the age, the date of when Matthew 2 actually occurred. And why is that important? Well, yeah, but that's important because I'm going to show you on Sunday the astronomical events that took place in a certain period of time. Now, remember I said when I started from 1 to 7 B.C., excuse me, all the scholars agree, nobody's arguing the point that Herod died somewhere in that period of time. Likewise, there are a series of events that took place during a period of time. And in studying these events, we can begin to identify and recognize what series of events we were looking at, identifying what his star actually was and what his star actually did, not only from astronomy, but from the Bible. And we can see what period of time it fit into. In other words, if I show you a triple retrograde motion in March of 8 or 9 BC, it's not going to fit. Although that may be noteworthy, we know that that's not going to fit with our timetable here, because we're going to go back 18 months, 2 years for Herod's death, when the Christ was born, because it wasn't very long after when he said and killed all those kids that all this stuff started to happen. Okay? You with me? So then we're going to be able to pinpoint the time, and then not only are we going to be able to pinpoint the time frame, we're going to look at those astronomical events that took place during that time frame over a period of time, and then, believe it or not, we're going to be able to go to the Word of God and check a particular day and a particular period of time within 2 hours and see a celestial announcement in the sky that will pinpoint and bring us to the birth of Christ to within like an 81-minute period of time. But it's all a matter of putting these little pieces together, getting us in the ballpark. So, because what people have done is they've worked with this one, and some things have happened, celestial announcements and events, but they were in constellations that do not represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? There are certain constellations that represent biblical things, and then there's certain constellations that represent, let me say it this way, biblical good things and then biblical bad things. And when you put it all together, you'll see it won't fit. Okay? So after I've totally confused you, I'm going to be quiet now. So in recapping, what have we seen? We've seen that these two, right off the bat, the two March eclipses can't fit because they don't fit with all the things that happened to Herod in that period of time before the Passover. Just doesn't fit in. Then we checked this one here, and we saw that his son hasted to Rome. He wouldn't have hasted to Rome because he had all this time before the Passover came. The only one that fits, according to the facts that we studied and, you know, other things that I've mentioned, was the January in 1 B.C. That would give time for Herod to die, for the procession, for the funeral, for all those things to happen. Now he's, you know, X amount of days into it. Passover's coming. That year it was in, what did I say, April 8th, something like that, our time. And I'm giving you January, so we're still going by our time now, okay? So January, February, March, you got to get over to Rome, make sure his rule is confirmed. He's going to hasten there to come back so he can meet an April Passover, and which that particular Passover, Josephus says that, what do? They send in the army because there's an uproar among the people. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word, and thank you, Father, that I know it gets sticky, but if we just think it through, if we read and we just look at the logic of it, Father, we can begin to see the clarity and the brilliance of it. I thank you, Father, for being able to pick up the things that I haven't been able to fully communicate and illuminate your people's minds and present to them the truth, Father, that you would bring them into understanding, Father, where I've fallen short. So we thank you for these things. We thank you for how rich and exciting your word is. And we thank you, Father, for the ability to be able to study it. And we praise your holy name for this, Father. And it's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Does anybody?